That was 15 seconds of silence. Did you get a little squirmy? What's wrong? Did he forget his name? Okay. How long silence did John have to endure? Half hour. That'd be about 100 times what you just went through. It must have been tough because he just had all that worshiping and noise. We don't want to call it noise, but worshiping, glorification, and the sound of it must have been overwhelming. And then all of a sudden, nothing. So we're expecting some things to happen, but they're not going to happen right away. There is some significance to this. And some of it has to do with this first question. Let's go ahead and get in that first question.
So, how is the angel and incense helping the faithful? And how does the Holy Spirit, and seven angels fill the Holy Spirit with the seven spirits? Well, the angel and incense, I mean, it said it added to the prayers of all the saints. And I think based on the first question, the answer to the second one, the first question is
in a sense, the incense added to the prayers of the saints. Added to them. Added, made them more effective, didn't it? And the half hour of silence may have made them more effective, too. The idea might be that God is listening to the prayers. So there's a little delay there. As far as the seven angels being the seven spirits, no, that's not. I don't think that's a good idea. I entertained that for a while. Seemed like a solution, and some commentators have made that, too. But no, there's a number of things against that. Angels don't usually do what the seven spirits did. Or on the other hand, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, does not do what these seven angels are going to do. All right, let's go on then. We get into the chapter, and we see the various trumpets are blown to warn. They are warnings. Do they warn us today? Shouldn't the same thing that warned them back then warn us today? Are we not mortal? I mean, don't we have the same problems that they had of forgetting the fact that we're mortal, of thinking we're going to live forever, and, all's going to be well, wondering why bad things happen to good people. David had a good lesson on that one. We're going to see bad things here. Some bad things are going to happen to good people. But the good people will know that there's a reason for these things. That they are warnings. Now, let me just make the statement up front. What we're going to see is different types of warnings. We need to see how these different types of warnings affect us and affected them back then. But the important thing is that John gets through to those who are being persecuted that this persecution has a reason. And that the various things that are going to happen in nature and they're going to happen by nations, armies, and so forth, causing havoc and problems and killing people, it has a reason. And all of that should warn them at that time. And it should warn us today. So let's go through them pretty quickly here. The first trumpet, the first four are things that affect the earth. Okay, the first one, you've got the storm. We had a storm yesterday, didn't we? Now, some of you affected directly by it. You lose your power. Yeah. Well, that was tough, wasn't it? You lost your power. For how long? A couple hours? You lose it for 3 days. Oh, yeah, that's pretty bad, isn't it? Suppose you were to lose it for 6 months or a year. That's possible. You know, when you have a warning and you lose your power and you see what happens, that ought to be a warning to you. What's going to happen if the power is off for an extended period of time? But the warning to them was more of the nature of get yourself ready. Get yourself ready for the judgment. Be prepared. The second trumpet, you got this mountain that's picked up and thrown into the sea. There's something in common with these things. Something even in common with the angel and the incense. What did the angel do to the incense after the silence? Threw it to the earth, right? Tossed it to the earth. And what happened? Noises, thunder, earthquakes. What does that indicate? It had an impact, didn't it? That our prayers had an impact. Our prayers have an impact. It's important that we realize this chapter shows us that we are in the kingdom and that we are a special people and that our prayers have an impact. The prayers of the rest of the world have an impact? There you go. Out of the mouths of babes. The first trumpet sounded, and what was it that was thrown to earth now? Fire and hail and blood. I'll mix those blood. It was thrown to the earth. You get to the second, and what do you see? Something else is thrown. What's thrown here? Yeah. Nothing trivial like a storm, is it? Huge mountain representing a nation. And if you look back in the Old Testament, you'll see that nations were often depicted by mountains, or figuratively shown as mountains. And in this case, there's pretty little doubt that that's probably referring to Rome. But shouldn't be limited to Rome, should it? Yeah, nations are getting thrown down all the time. Venezuela is a good example of a nation that has been thrown down. Russia was a good example a few years ago. The Soviet Union, it was called, not Russia, was thrown down. Others are about to be thrown down. It's imminent. They've just lived their course. They've served their purpose. And it's time for them to be thrown down. When they are thrown down, what should that be to us? When we see them thrown down. Warning. Right? These are the trumpets. These are the warnings. It should have been that to them. And it should be that to us today. Okay? Third thing. Now here, does it say that something was, that a star was thrown down? It doesn't say the star was thrown down, but I think we're going to find out that it was eventually when we get into later chapters. Chapter 12 in particular, when the woman, we'll see the the star thrown down. It won't be a star at that time. We're going to have to find out what this star is. And in my little narrative, little blurb there, stars back then could be their leaders, their political leaders, their military leaders. Stars, just like our stars today are movie stars and athletes. But I don't think that's the case here, and I think we'll find out who the star was. Came down, hit the earth, and turned the fresh water into wormwood, stinky stuff. Ruined it. What? How do you take the pure water of the gospel of Jesus Christ and ruin it? Well, you can do certain things like compromise the gospel. Ultimately, it leads to you not teaching the gospel at all, being a religious organization that has very little to do with the gospel. We see that all around us. We see a lot of these things all around us. Who is behind that? Who has to be behind that? When you have a good, sound church and all of a sudden they start getting into things like children's programs and our things like that.
Satan.
Exactly. Chances are good. That's has something to do with Satan, doesn't it? Alright. The fourth trumpet sounds. Nothing's thrown down at this point. But it's about the same thing that we've been talking about with the compromise of the gospel. The lights start to go out. The lights start to dim. The sun and the moon and the stars. They're there, but they're not very effective. What is the light? The truth. We need to look at these things spiritually. And we need to realize that John was not seeing these things happen. These were visions. He was not seeing. They weren't happening while he was standing there and watching them. And because they're figurative in nature, literally, they never will happen. All the stars are going to go out. The sun going to dim and go out. Well, that could happen, I guess. But I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think he's talking spiritually here of these lights going out. And that's very much the same as the water being polluted. Okay, now in the last verse of the 8th chapter, we have a warning. Woe, woe to them. Woe, woe. No, it's three woes, sorry. For them that dwell on the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets, of the three angels that are yet to sound. So we've got 5, 6, and 7 that are coming. And he's saying that each one of those is going to bring about a woe. Something pretty bad. The ones that have already sounded bad enough, aren't they? I mean, these things affecting the earth, they were bad enough. Does anyone have a problem with who it was or what it was that said this? The American Standard said it was an eagle. I think all the other versions I know of say angel. And I go with angel. for one thing, that would be the only place in the whole book of Revelation where an animal or a bird talked. Okay. It could happen. And you say, well, what about the living creature that looked like the flying, you know, eagle? It looked like it. It wasn't. The living creature was not an eagle. The living creature was a uniquely created being. So I don't think we can say that that's a possibility. The other thing is that when we get to chapter 14, it's going to say this, 14 and 6. And I saw another angel flying in mid heaven. I saw another angel flying in mid heaven. Well, wait, where's the first one? I believe that this is the first one. This is the first angel that he saw flying in mid-heaven. Which, you know, imagine it the way you will. Another thing that links those two together is that they are diametrically the opposite of each other. What is this angel saying? Whoa, bad things are going to happen. What does the other angel say? I saw an angel flying in mid-heaven. Revelation 14:6. Having eternal good tidings to proclaim unto them that dwell on the earth. In every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Can you think of anything that's more the opposite? You got woes over here, and you got the gospel over there. So that's another thing I think links them together. Okay, we're getting ready for our questions now. A number of questions here. We have things get a little bit more complicated when we get to the fifth and the sixth. Maybe, maybe not. We're going to get into things that affect people. To this point, they have been affected. Affecting the earth. Okay, Chad.
And I think if we go through, it's important for us to remember this. We're seeing what are his tools that God uses in his
communication
of his people and his administering judgment upon these others. The first four trumpets are our natural sort of calamities. The last three are going to be armies. I just think it's important that we don't lose sight of what's transpiring here.
Yeah, these are just not natural random events. You know, if you're afraid of global warming, that's not just a random global event. God is totally in control of it. Relax, you know, enjoy. There's certain things that we can enjoy in Beulah Land that you cannot enjoy anywhere else. We're going to sing that song in a little while. Okay, the fifth trumpet. Any other thoughts or comments? I appreciate the comments last week, by the way. Very much appreciate those comments. Fifth trumpet. Notice, first of all, that this is not something that he saw happening. The star was already on the ground. It had already fallen. It's past tense. Okay. Now there may be one or two versions that say that in present tense, but most of them will say it in past tense. In other words, this star had already fallen. So John saw the star on the ground. All right. What was given to the star? Oh, by the way, the star is now personified. All of a sudden, the star is not an it. It was an it before. The star is now a person. Who do we think it was? Pretty good chance. Put all the evidence together here. So, what was given to him? The keys. Keys to the pit. To the pit. They believed at that time that hell was a bottomless pit. Or to get to hell, you go through the bottomless pit and you get to it. What do people believe today? Can we get to hell? Physically? Well, we will. Yeah, Abraham's bosom was not physical either, was it? That was a spiritual existence. That was a spiritual thing. Where is heaven? Get to it in a rocket ship? Can we launch a rocket and get to it? No. It's spiritual. It's a different dimension, a spiritual dimension that we cannot access physically. Now, the people at CERN are trying to break through and open up a portal so that they can access it. Isn't that crazy? I call them modern day Tower of Babel. It's a modern day Tower of Babel, what they're trying to do. It's not all of them. I mean, you've got thousands of people working. CERN, by the way, is a donut-shaped machine that is 17 miles distance. I'm not going to say any more about it because it's so easy to get information on it. Just put into any search engine or YouTube, any of them. CERN. Write that down. CERN. And when you have a chance, have fun. Find out what it is that it's all about. That's enough said about that. But the thing about it is that here is a being that is given access to this spiritual dimension, to hell, the bottomless pit. That is effectively what the bottomless pit is all about. Wasn't very good, was it? Stephen Hawking, who was an atheist, it's not like he was religious or anything. He said, "You guys are crazy. You open this portal, you don't have any idea what might come out of it." That shows you how serious this whole thing is. That the most brilliant genius of our day and age, Stephen Hawking, who you've seen him on TV at times, he'll be in a wheelchair. He's totally paralyzed, been totally paralyzed all his life. He has concerns about this. Read about that. It's interesting to see what nutty things other people are up to. Trillions of dollars have been spent on this machine. It's a collider. Stop it. Okay. I got to stop talking about that. Let's get on to the question. Question number two. This is a general question about these trumpets. Okay. Verse
9-2. Is God allowing Satan by terrible powers such as Rome to afflict those on the earth? Yes. We look at Job and see what Satan was allowed to do to Job.
Yeah, Okay, so why would God be allowing Satan to do such a thing? What's the purpose of the trumpet?
Well, he's using him as his tool. He's allowing judgment to come upon these folks, and he's also, because it's only a partial destruction, allowing an opportunity for repentance.
For repentance. It's a warning. So it's a trumpet. It is another warning. Okay. Let's go on. Number 3, verse 9-4.
What type of suffering will Christians be spared? Were some Christians undergoing tremendous pain and suffering because of their faith? So they will be spared spiritual suffering. And yes, they were undergoing physical pain and suffering.
Okay, so what's worse? Physical suffering or spiritual suffering? What causes people to commit suicide? Usually it's not because they're hurting physically. It's usually because they're messed up in the head. All right. What we can call spiritual agony. And they've got to do something about it, or they just can't stand it. There again, here we have the protection of Christians, the protection of those who are in the kingdom. We don't have to put up with this in this day and age. We don't have to suffer these mental anguish problems, do we? No. This is a gift to us and a privilege that we have as Christians. All right. Number 4, question 4, that's 9, verse 9, 5 through 6.
Could such be true of any number of afflictions tormenting those whose only hope is in this world? That is, immorality, drugs, addiction, etc.
Okay, and what it's talking about here, the question addresses verse 5. It was given to them that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men shall seek death and shall not find it. They shall desire to die, but death flees from them. That's how bad it is. Christians are spared of that. Because we know that these things are warnings. We know that there's something better for us. And after a while, we don't have to be concerned with, you know, just this world and just what this world is dishing out to us. Okay, number 5. 9-7. Chapter 9, verse 7.
Okay. What is the evidence that these are military forces? So the locusts look like warriors. They were arrayed for battle. So that would seem to indicate that. Could this war be a spiritual nation? Could their faces like men equal to spirit?
Deception. You see deception all in here. And when you see deception, what do you know? Satan is not very far away. Satan's right there. He's the father of lies. Prince of this world. So what this could be speaking of, and I'm not saying it is that there would be military types of destruction. The next one seems almost definitive that it is talking about there. Let's do question number six. Which is 9-11. 9-11. Question six. Anybody there? Okay. How about it? Look at verse 11 now. It's talking about who was the king of the abyss. And it says his name was Abaddon, and in the Greek, Apollyon, which means, both of them mean destroyer or he destroyed. Who is this talking about? Who else could it be other than Satan? And it's an angel, too. This is an angel as the king of the abyss. Okay.
Dave,
I think you took one of your questions here. Mr. Ford, that they limited in their capabilities? Yeah.
Absolutely, because they're not the ones in control, God.
Even with Job, he was limited. Almost totally unlimited. Okay, we're about to sing Beulah Land, which we should have great joy in being spared the many things that this world is going through. One question there on question number 11, down around 8-7, and it pertains to 8-7 through 9-19. It pertains to all of these bad things that are happening. Question is, if you saw these results, all of these bad things, would you believe God is still in control? This addresses what Chad was saying. Okay, and why? Most people would, and I mean, some people just flat out come and say, God would not allow these things, so I don't believe in God. That's the reason I don't believe in God. How could he allow all of these bad things? What is our response here? Why do we believe? There's only one reason that we can see this, that we can see that these things are not going to have an effect on us. And that's because it's written. That's because of what we're reading right now. If we weren't reading it, if we weren't studying it, we wouldn't know. We'd just be part of the wash, part of the mess. Go ahead. Yeah. That's exactly right. We shouldn't trivialize it. not trivialize it.
The Western wind, in poetic language, is often used to refer to a gentle, pleasant